الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا ورسولنا وعزيزنا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us the ability, the tawfiq and the izn to come here today and to strengthen our hearts, to strengthen our brotherhood and our sisterhood, and to gain guidance from the noble Qur'an and also from the noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions and efforts and make this day, make this moment, make this sitting a means for our success, for our forgiveness and for our salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most beloved messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his purified family and upon the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jal in the glorious Quran reminds us of a very, very beautiful act that the Muslims and the Mu'mins and the Muhsins do, which is they do this dua of remembrance. That they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. That, O our most generous, most kareem, most benevolent Lord, forgive us and also forgive our brothers. And the brothers here is inclusive of the women here in this particular dua. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who preceded us in faith. So in our religion, not only do we concern ourselves with ourselves and those that are immediately around us, i.e. your parents or your siblings or your offspring, but you also remember those people who have come before us. Those people who laid down the foundations of Islam, those people who enabled this masjid to be built, those people who propagated Islam, defended Islam, safeguarded Islam, those people who protected and preserved their iman and transferred it into your hearts, into the hearts of your children and to your family members. To remember them is also part of our duty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To those people who have passed away in iman, in a state of iman. And today, inshaAllah al-Aziz, what we will do is remember specifically our brothers and sisters who passed away in Bosnia. And those people who are aware of their history will know that on the 11th of July every single year, we remember those 8,000 plus men and women of iman, of faith, those who protected their iman rather than give away their iman for the sake of the dunya or secularism. These are the people who gave their lives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who were brutally murdered, but they gave their shahada in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a hallmark of Muslims is that we remember and we pray for those who have passed away with iman. And we learn from their lives, and also we learn from their struggles. Because if you do not learn from your history, then what will happen? Inevitably, you will only repeat that history again and again. And therefore, it is important for you to take counsel from your parents, take counsel from your elders, take counsel from the ulama and the shuyukh, because they will be able to guide you and prevent you from falling into the same traps and to the same mistakes of those people that have preceded you. So this is a very important aspect of reflecting upon history and looking at the lessons of history, but more importantly, remembering our brothers and sisters. And this day will also be inclusive of our brothers and sisters in Yemen, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, of our brothers and sisters in Syria, of our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Burma, in China, and throughout the world. All of those who are suffering, all of those who are being terrorized, all of those who are facing this onslaught of zulm against them. Why? Because they believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they follow none other than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we will give a very brief recap on the events, and inshallah al-aziz, extrapolate some important lessons from the lives of our brothers and sisters in Bosnia. So in July 1995 in Bosnia, what did the militia do? These people who are terrorists. Often in the media now, Islam and Muslims are portrayed as the terrorists. Whereas you, if you reflect upon history and you have a cursory look at the history, you will see over the last century it is Muslims who have been terrorized. It is the Muslims whose lives and homes and countries have been completely and utterly devastated and destroyed. So we are not the ones of zulm, but rather we are the ones of nur, of hidayah. We are the ones who hold fast onto the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are the ones who follow the rules of war. When the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam instructed us not to harm a woman, not to harm children, not to spoil wells, not to destroy religious buildings, not to cause destruction even in the state of war. This is who we are. This is how we are identified. We are the people of sabr. We are the people of hidayah. We are the people of the Quran. We are those who emulate the beautiful sunnah and the character of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So what happened in Bosnia in 1995? They lined up over 8,000 Muslim men, Muslim boys and women and children, and they completely just shot them and, you know, killed them off. And they buried their bodies in mass graves, and they forcibly deported thousands and thousands of women and children and raped them as well. All of the heinous acts that are unimaginable to a normal human being, these are the acts that they did, that they committed. This was an act of genocide that shocked the world. But momentary shock, as you know, because people have a tendency to forget. So the 11th of July, it's important for us as Muslims to remind our children, to educate our children, who are the zalims and who are the mazlooms, where the real zulm is taking place, where the real terrorists are, what their agenda is, whether it is that of atheism, whether it is that of secularism or anything else, or materialism. We need to understand what is going on in our current state and what has been going on in our past as well. So the 11th of July is a very, very important day for Muslims, just as many other days throughout the year, for Palestine, for Syria, for Bosnia, for Yemen, for Iraq and Afghanistan and all of the other countries throughout the world. But in Bosnia, what did the militia do? Their intent was to destroy Muslims, to get rid of Islam, to get rid of Muslims, and to instill so much fear into the heart of those who follow the Quran and those who follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that they will think this is not worth it. That, you know, this is not worth us giving our lives up for the Quran or for the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But no, these people remain steadfast. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna allahu thumma istaqamu. The true people of Iman, that when they have made a commitment, when they have made this testimony, this shahada, this statement that indeed our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what do? Thumma istaqamu. Then they remain steadfast. As they say in our language, whatever comes their way, they will hold fast. Why? Because they hold fast onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that their izzah, their honor, their life, everything is protected and safeguarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however long they are here in the dunya. And when they return, they know that they have a great reward awaiting them in the hereafter when they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things that took place in Bosnia. But in Germany as well, if you look at the history, it was the Nazis who committed the Holocaust. And they killed millions upon millions of Jews at that time. But now, if you look at this day and age, it is the far right. These are the extremists in our day and age, where they are trying to terrorize people, and they are trying to differentiate people based on their caste, on their color, on their background. These are the terrorists, the elitists, the capitalists, and especially here in Europe, and also you see that in America and even in Asia as well. What are they doing? They are destroying beautiful cities and towns and countries like Syria, of Yemen, of Iraq, of Burma, Pakistan, Kashmir, Afghanistan, and China. We know exactly what is going on. We just need to look at the media. We need to read the newspapers and understand and reflect, why are these things taking place? Why is it not that Muslims have not taken heed from their history? They have not united the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to do. That وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. That to not separate, to not differentiate that you're a Pakistani, you're an Indian, you're this. No, we are all Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ described that whenever one individual is in agony or in pain, then the remaining ummah feels the pain of that individual. This is how the Prophet ﷺ described the ummah of his ummah on how they feel and how they are anxious over the rest of the Muslims throughout the world. But in this day and age, we are so desensitized. We see so much violence, we see so much killing, we see so much terrorism, and selective things that we hear as well of a lone wolf doing this particular act. All of these things that we are completely desensitized, and we think it's normal for this to happen, and well, it's not my masla, it's not happening in my backyard, then oh Jani, another come Jani, and let them deal with it. Well, one day it will come to your home. One day it will enter within your home and also within your lives. And if you are not prepared, and if you have not been standing there with those people who have been suffering, then who will stand with you when you will be suffering? Whether in this dunya and more importantly on the hereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that your brother and your sister, they were facing this persecution and this zulm, what did you do? Do you just swipe away and read the next news headline? Or did you just switch off the phone and say, well, it's not my problem, and let them deal with it? What did you do? How did you aid them? How did you support them? Did you even feel in your heart that this is wrong? What? There are certain darajah, there are certain levels of you acting out your faith and supporting your brothers and sisters in Islam. So these are the questions that we will be asked for on the day of Qiyamah. Nevertheless, the common element, because if we want to unpack why these things took place and how we can take lessons from this particular event, the common element in all ethnic cleansing and genocide throughout the world is a deep hatred and intolerance towards other people and a false sense of superiority. Whether you call it xenophobia, whether you call it elitism, or whatever you want to call it, the Aryan race, etc., that's entirely up to you. But the point is that one group of people, or a nation, or a community, feels that they have the right, or they are far superior as human beings in their color, in their background, in their intellect, in their knowledge, in their technology, that they can control the world and they can dictate who has the right to speak, who has the right to live, who has the right to act or worship in anything else. These are some of the elements that you will find in ethnic cleansings and in the genocides that take place. That deep intolerance, that deep hatred, and the false sense of superiority. But in Islam, remember, we are here to find guidance from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to see on the opposite side of the spectrum, what does our religion teach us? Are we taught this intolerance towards other people? Are we taught this hatred towards other people and humanity? Do we have this sense of superiority that we are the chosen ones and that's it? No, we will see that insha'Allahul Aziz today. But in Islam, there is absolutely no hatred for the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow us to differentiate ourselves with other people based on our race or our culture or the color of our skin or our financial status or our background, our nationality or our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not permit that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْسَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And furthermore, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes our interactions and our engagement with the rest of humanity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created you from the same source. We all come from Bani Adam. We all come from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has differed our color, our skin, our tone, and the countries that we are born in. All of these things, it is the design and purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that you have a superior race, or you have a superior culture, or anything else. The most noble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the most righteous, who is the most fearful, who is the most God conscientious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after all, we're living here on earth. Nobody can go anywhere else unless somebody's found another planet to go on and they're far advanced than anybody else. We're here to live. This is the dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. And this is where we must reside and we must live. And we must live and we must allow others to live as well. So within our religion, within our tradition, within the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we do not have this seep deep within us or embedded within our DNA or our thought processes that we hate other people or that we have an intolerance towards other people or that we are superior. No, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had love and respect for all of humanity. Whether it was a Jew, whether it was a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whoever it may be, he always respected them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was their creator and was their fashion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fashioned them, and there's still that ability for them to turn and come to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that is Allah, your Lord, the creator of all things. This is how we view the world. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that لا تبديل لخلق الله, that there is no changing in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who are who they are will remain as they are, with their skins, with their idiosyncrasies, with their culture, with their background. That's it. You have to accept them for who they are. But with your akhlaq and with your tolerance and with your respect and love that you take and extract from the Quran, from the beautiful life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you can mold them and make them beautiful from within, and also change their characteristics from out on from the outside externally, so that they can truly reflect the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, then they will be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their taqwa, due to their fear, due to their God conscientiousness and their actions and their amal. The second thing to understand in Islam is that everybody has a choice. Nobody is forcing you to behave in a particular way, to act in a particular manner, or to carry out particular deeds or actions on the behest of somebody else. It is your choice. You have been given the choice, the freedom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whoever wants to believe, then let them believe. And whoever wants to disbelieve and deny and reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then allow him to make his choice, to make his bed, to live his life. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And we do not violate the religion and the religious rights of other people as well. Lakum deenukum waliyadeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions furthermore in the Quran that la ikraha fid deen. This is how we view the world. This is how we interact with other people. So when we see certain characteristics in our community or the world or the society spewing all of this hatred and this intolerance and this rejection and superiority, we say, no, this is how we carry ourselves. This is how we emulate the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And this is how we react to the things that you show. We react in a better manner, in a manner which is befitting the status of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. This is another important aspect for us to understand. And if you look in the constitution of Medina, that constitution which was there before the Magna Carta and everything else, the constitution of the Medina enabled Muslims to coexist and live side by side, all of these different tribes and all of these different nations and the religions that were there in Medina. The Prophet ﷺ protected all of their rights and their way of life and their religious and their social way of life, and their lives and their buildings, whether it was Christianity, Judaism or other religions at that time. And if you just have a look at the constitution of Medina at the beginning, it approximately covered 10,000 citizens. 45% of those citizens were pagan Arabs, 40% of those citizens were Jews, and only 15% of citizens at that time were Muslims. But then look at how they coexisted and they lived in that very beautiful society, and how Islam allowed them to live in a manner where they felt that they were safe, not a manner where they felt that they were tolerated or there was intolerance or hatred or any of these things. No, Islam understands the community that you live in, and when we reflect all of these beautiful characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and our religion, then we prevent certain atrocities even formulating or in their minds or in their hearts or in their intentions, and also keep them away from even coming into fruition. The third aspect to remember and to remind ourselves and also our children is that in Islam, racism and prejudice is a major sin. It's not something which is accepted, where you know are racist to people based on their color of their skin or from their background, or you have a prejudice, or you are discriminatory towards other people based on their gender or their behavior or their culture or their background. No, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, without any reservation, welcomed all of those into Islam inclusively, without any form of discrimination. And whenever people used to discriminate, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would rebuke them. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about this as well. When people started differentiating between the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, they are all my prophets, they are all my messengers, i.e. they are the same because they have come with the same message, they have come with the same guidance. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a ulul azm, a particular status to certain prophets over others, but nevertheless the point is that we treat each other with dignity, with mutuality, and we treat each other equally. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those people who want to have this racist approach, this prejudicial approach, or this discriminatory approach, this is not the action of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, but rather they are following in the footsteps of the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow, never follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Why? Because he said, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. This is what he said, that I am better than this person. Why? I have more wealth, I have more wives, I have more children, I have more status, I have a better skin, I have a better race, all of these things. This is how he differentiated himself and said, I am better. But in Islam, we don't say these things. We reserve judgment because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at your qulub. بَلْ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Not towards your outer appearance, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking towards your taqwa, your ikhlas, your niyyah, your tahara, all of these things which are embedded within your heart. These are the things that are most important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the evil arrogance of looking down on other people is not our way, is not the way of the Quran, and certainly is not the way of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, if you find any of these particular characteristics, and unfortunately we do find them within our community, talking about the Pakistani community especially, whenever they see a person of a darker complexion, they say, oh, stay away from him. Why? Because they have these, you know, these discriminatory feelings already in their mind. They have these judgments already that this person, he's going to cause you harm in this way or that way. But no, this is not the way of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome people, treat people with respect and dignity, and you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen your heart and your iman, and broaden your shoulders as well, and strengthen the akhuwa and the brotherhood within your heart, within your community, and also within the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth thing to remind ourselves, that in Islam, injustice, oppression and persecution are things which are completely abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, condemned by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us that وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. That never allow the hatred the hatred of other people and their cultures and their skins or any of these things prevent you from being just. Always be just. Always be just in all of your affairs and all of your actions. In spite of what they may do and how they may behave, these are the principles that we are guided by, how we govern our lives, how we live our lives, and we take these lessons from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and remind our children that this is how they behaved in Bosnia, this is how they behaved in Yemen, in Palestine, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Burma, and throughout the world, in China, but this is not how we react and how we behave. This is how we carry ourselves and how we carry the message of the Quran and the message of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We remind ourselves the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was sent with a mission of mercy, with a mission of forgiveness, of engagement, of tolerance, compassion, love and forbearance. But how do you spread your deen? How do you do your da'wah within your life, within your home, within your community? What are the things that you espouse as a Muslim? How do you truly carry the message of our beautiful Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam? And finally, we do not ridicule people the way they may ridicule us, that these people are backwards, these people are uneducated. These are things that you'll find in the media, how they will, you know, ridicule people to make them feel like they are less than human. That will justify their actions and their zulm against us. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, and similarly the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instructs us to always show adab and ihtaram and izzah and honor to our elders, and similarly to those people who are younger as well, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whoever they may be, as long as they are somebody, they have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a duty to show adab to them and not to ridicule them based on their outer appearance or based on their characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. These are there within the Qur'an. It's not for us to overlook these things, it's for us to look at these things, to take them within our heart, within our mind, and to make sure that we act upon all of these things. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions that a faithful believer is like the bricks of a wall enforcing each other. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam clasped his hands by interlacing his fingers, and this is how close we are. So we have a duty to make sure that events like this, genocides, exterminations, and all of these zulm that is taking place in the dunya, they do not occur. The repeat does not take place. They can only happen when we are remaining steadfast, when we are embodying all of the principles of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khayran.